going to read it, verse 21, John 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And may the Lord bless to us the reading of his own word. Thinking a little of that question in verse 22, one that likely we've all pondered many times. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Rather an intriguing thing if you think of it. But at a night like this, we as Christians can meet for a time of prayer. We can come together with the weekend in mind, a time when we'll be sharing together and enjoying things from the Word of God. But we who appreciate the goodness of our God in salvation, we who appreciate Calvary, can gather and our minds will be upon Christ. And yet there's a world of millions around us. And to them, Christ means so little, or Christ means nothing. We live in a world where there are multitudes of people indifferent to the greatness of Calvary, indifferent to the love of God, knowing nothing of all that God has done when he gave his Son to die at the cross. Why is it? Why is it? Simply because the God of heaven and the Son of God that came to go to Calvary has manifested himself unto us. We're here tonight because of Christ, and we're here tonight because there was a time when God in his mercy showed something to us of the person of Christ. And we love him who first loved us. Now, looking at the question for a few minutes. Lord, the disciple says, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, not unto the world? I suppose we'd all appreciate tonight. You know the last sight that this ungodly world would have had of the Lord Jesus was of him hanging upon the cross. It would have been kind, loving hands of disciples that took the body from the cross, laid him in the tomb. In resurrection, you know from the Bible that none but the Lord rose. Now I'm conscious of the Apostle Paul, that it was a moment of salvation he saw the Lord in glory. But none but the Lord's own saw the Lord Jesus in resurrection. The last sight then of the ungodly world had of the Lord Jesus hanging up on the cross. They're going to see him again. The next sight the world will have of the Lord Jesus is when he comes in glory. Not the last, but the coming in glory. Every eye shall see. They also which kissed. But thank God for this. The Lord Jesus, you know, is telling his disciples here, he's going away. But he'll tell them as well that they're going to see him again a little while, and he shall see. And there have been the many down to the age, whereby there's been a resurrected Lord revealed unto them. They've seen something of Christ. They come to appreciate. There's a moment ahead of us, Christians. Keep it before us. A moment when the shout will be given. A moment when the dead in Christ will be raised. A moment when believing Christians will be suddenly transformed. A moment when all will be taken to be forever with the Lord. What a moment that's going to be. Don't lose sight of it. How near it must be. But Well, I'm thinking of this question, and I'd like just to touch with you. Three at the end of John's Gospel, and three that you know well, came to know something of Christ in resurrection. I'm thinking, of course, in John 20 of Mary, the distress of her heart in the garden. I'd like to lift this for a minute with you. But the Lord Jesus in resurrection manifesting himself to Mary. I'm thinking of Thomas, not so much distress now, but the doubt of the man's mind. I'm thinking just for a moment of how the Lord Jesus in resurrection manifested himself to Thomas. I'm thinking of the discouragement of Peter and the others in John 21. I'm thinking of a man that 3 years or so before had left the boat and left the nets and left the Sea of Galilee. But then events transpire and Peter gets discouraged. Now there's a night in John 21. You know the story. We're not going through it. There's a night in John 21. You remember Peter's discouraged with a lot of things. But there's a resurrected Christ. When something happens in John 21 and old Peter becomes new Peter. It's the end of the year, the beginning of a new one. Now thinking of these three, in the moments, the closing verses of John's Gospel, you know the old fades away, and something new comes in. What was it in John 20 that changed Mary from the distress of her heart and the tears? You know what it was. It was a word from the Lord. Just think of that for a moment, a word from the Lord. You know, many a young Christian, in a meeting like this, has taken a word from the Lord. And their lives have been transformed. Would to God that in these meetings, there be a word not from the preacher, but a word from the Lord. A word that might touch hearts. A word that might take us away from our bewilderment, as it were. A word that might take our minds off the distress of the world and the circumstances of the world. That there might be just a word from the Lord that will change things for us as they changed it for Mary. What was it for Thomas? Thomas and his doubts. It's not now so much a word from the Lord. But you know at the end of John 20 what it was that changed Thomas. It was the wounds of the Lord Jesus. And Christians, while we need a word from the Lord at this time, let me challenge every one of us. Never get far from the wounds of the Lord Jesus. What do I mean by that? Never get far from Calvary. May the wounds of the Lord Jesus, the pierced hands and feet and side of the Lord Jesus, ever be near to us. You know what it did to Thomas? Not now something he'd heard from somebody else, but something that he'd seen and known. The wounds of Calvary, Christian, keep them near, keep them close. We stray from the cross, we stray from the gospel. The wounds of the Lord Jesus changed Thomas. The old doubting Thomas is gone now. There's something new there. What was it though in John 21? I go a-fishing, Peter said. And we understand the circumstances. Let me just ask a question. You know again, let me say, sometime before, 3 years or so, Peter had left that. He'd gone on well for the Lord. Never mind his mistakes. He'd gone on for the Lord. How are we doing? How are we doing, Christian? I don't doubt that most of us tonight can look back. There's a time when we left one thing or another to go on for the Lord Jesus. How are we doing? I tell the fishermen back in Newfoundland, you know, every fisherman has need of net. But no fisherman should ever get entangled in this net. That's not the purpose of it. Now they know what I mean. No doubt you do. Things we have need of. Things we're not to be entangled with, though. How are we doing? Something happened in John 21. Now it's not so much a word from the Lord that Mary got, nor the wounds that Thomas saw. But you know there's a disciple there, I believe it was John. He saw something, he said, it is the Lord. And I'm thinking of the work of the Lord Jesus. What he saw, of course, was the miracle of the fish. And as soon as those words were uttered, as soon as there's that realization that it's the Lord Jesus on the shore, my Christians, John 21, I hope you get into the passage and look at it. You remember, the Lord Jesus is on the shore of glory. The night's soon be over. Now they realize it's the Lord and he's on the shore. It's the work of the Lord Jesus in John 21. What did it do for Peter? Until he left the boat before. He leaves the boat again. He jumps overboard, doesn't he? Peter heads for the shore. Well, let me ask, are we longing for the shore? Are we longing to leave and go to the shore where the Lord Jesus is, where the fire of welcome is, if you like? There's a work of the Lord in John 21. And so again, Christian, let me say, at these conference meetings, would God there's a word that touched the heart of each one. Would God there be a word that might touch particularly the heart of some younger ones? A word that might stir us with the realization we belong to a resurrected Christ, one whom the world knows nothing about. A Christ who gave his all upon Calvary, but a Christ who's a living Savior at the right hand of God in glory. Oh, maybe we get a word from the Lord at these meetings. A word that'll change us. Mary in the garden, bewildered and perplexed and distressed with the circumstances. Wonder, is there a discouraged Christian here tonight? Quite a common thing. Many things get us down. But you think of Mary in that garden. I, whenever I go through John 20 and think of Mary, can't help but think of the Song of Solomon. You know the connection. Do you remember in Song of Solomon? Remember the maiden in the street seeing the watchman? Hast thou seen him whom my soul loveth? You know, the watchman might have said, who are you talking about? Who was she talking about? Oh, you know the point, don't you? There's only one person in her mind. Mary meets someone in the garden. If thou hast borne him in, tell me where thou hast laid. Had it been anyone else, he might have said, Mary, who are you talking about? Who's the person you're concerned with, Mary? She didn't give the name. It's only him. You see, Christian, there is one and one only that fills the heart of Mary. There's one that Mary loves, and it's the Lord Jesus that she knows. It's the Lord Jesus that she'd seen upon the cross. God would ask us tonight, what's the heart like in relation to Christ? Have we left our first love? Have we grown cold and we wander? Hast thou seen him? Is there any such talk as that in your life and mine? Is Christ uppermost? Is there that place given to him that once he had? None fills the mind or the heart of Mary as the Lord Jesus did. And one word from the Lord, one little word when the Lord Jesus spoke her name, all of a sudden, there's a flood of revelation, a flood of light, as it were. And Mary knows it's the Lord that she loves. Oh, could I say to us again, would God, Would God that through this word there might be some little word that would touch us, stir us, make us aware of the one that we belong to, the one who loves us. Change our ways. If we've come discouraged, would to God that we go away encouraged. If we've come downcast, would to God that there be something from the Word of God that would just touch us and lift us up. And let us go a different way. Mary would have gone from there, you know, a happy woman. A living Savior. She would know. And Christians, we need that to fill our hearts and get a grip on us. And we might live more to please God. Thomas had said, except I shall see. Thomas found it so hard to accept the testimony of others. Now you know the scene. A week later, there in the upper room. Talk about a passage where the Lord Jesus knows all things. Who told the Lord the words of Thomas? Well, you know, nobody did. The Lord Jesus knew. The Lord suddenly appearing. And then to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. We never read that Thomas did. And I think most of you agree that he didn't. No such thing as Thomas reaching out to touch the wounds or thrusting the hand. It took but a glance at the Lord Jesus. An appreciation of the wounds of Calvary. And Thomas comes out with those words, my Lord and my God. My resurrected Savior. The wounds of the cross, the marks of the cross in his hands and feet. It would have melted the heart of Thomas. Oh, but wait. What are the wounds of Christ to you and to me? Do they touch us, Christians? We get so cold. Do they touch us? What are the wounds of Christ to you and to me? What are the wounds of Christ meant to you in the months that are past? What of the wounds of Christ in whatever time is before? My Lord and my God, Thomas says. It's not now the testimony of others. It's a personal appreciation of the one who had hung on Calvary's cross. A living, resurrected Savior. Let me encourage every Christian again. Let me challenge you with this. There is so much in the world that's clamoring for our attention. So much around us that's seeking to overwhelm us. But oh, to look by faith to Calvary and see. A Savior who loved us, gave himself for us. The wounds of Christ. A touching thing to take our Bibles and look ahead. And see as John saw, you know, in Revelation 5. In the midst of the throne and of the elders, a lamb, as it had been slain. What does that tell us? It'll tell us this, Christian. That the wounds of Christ are precious on earth. The wounds of Christ are precious in heaven. The wounds of Christ will be precious in eternity. Eternity will never take our gaze from the wounds of Calvary, from the freshness of it all. My point is simply this. Don't let earthly circumstances get our mind, our thoughts, off what Calvary means, the wounds of Christ. Thinking of the words of that lovely hymn, the cloudless day is nearing when thou, O Lord, shalt come. Thy radiant glory wearing to take thy people home. You know what it goes on to say. But how shall I then know thee amid those hosts above? What tokens true will tell me the object of my love? Thy glories all excelling in pure effulgence shine. The glory in thee dwelling will near proclaim thee mine. Thy wounds, Lord Jesus. Those deep, deep wounds will tell the sacrifice that frees us from self and death and hell. We need to appreciate more the wounds of Christ. Perhaps dwell more upon those words of Thomas, my Lord, the Lordship of Christ, my God, the deity of Christ, my Lord and my God. The wounds of Christ changed the life of Thomas, the work of Christ. You know that it was a miracle of fish that started Peter on the right way. You know in John 21 it's another miracle of fish that will get Peter back on the right way. You know it was a fire. The fire in the high priest's house where Peter was in with the wrong lot. You know it's a fire on the shore where the Lord Jesus is. All these things are so significant. But there's a work of the Lord that goes on in John 21. All night and nothing, discouraged. Then the net on the right side of the ship. And suddenly the net's full. The net's drawn to shore, you know the scene. I think Christians, every one of us, preachers all, nice to appreciate there. You know, there was no counting of the fish till the net was ashore. I'll say no more about that. Except this one thing, that all of us as the Lord's people will not know the results of it all until we're safe on the shore of glory with the Lord Jesus. Let me say that there's a day that's coming when all the little things that we've done in relation to the work of the Lord, it'll be made known. The counting is on the shore. Don't be discouraged. There is no work going on as great as the work of the Lord. It matters not. It matters not what they're doing in space or anywhere else. The matter of God's work, the sowing of the seed, the salvation of souls. For some of us are privileged in something. I'll be careful how I say this, but there's some of us privileged in something. We're maybe given a little more encouragement along the way and seeing results than some others. But you always remember, the gospel net is out. We've been given a responsibility. The work of the Lord is going on, and don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by circumstances around. Don't be discouraged by things within. There is no work like the Lord's work, and as we realize the great importance of the work of the Lord, that He's doing a work, one day it'll all be brought to shore, and the results will be known. It's going to be a wonderful thing, Christian, when the shout is given. A wonderful thing to be caught up with the Lord Jesus, the wounded Lord Jesus. The folks there then, you think of it. Do the people there then? Don't ask me how long it'll take you to recognize them. Do the people there then that you might have said a little word to, passed a little tract to, prayed for, whatever. The work of the Lord Jesus goes on. And in John 21, those disciples realized by the miracle. Salvation is a miracle. Your salvation was a miracle. So was mine. And so is the salvation of others. God's work goes on. The shores of glory will reveal the results. John 21 then. Peter anxious to get ashore, anxious to be with the Lord. What they saw in the net. And Christian, keep at it. Lift your eyes to the shore, never mind the darkness, never mind the sea around. Do what we have to do. Acknowledge the greatness of God's word. Keep our eyes upon the Lord on the shores of glory. Again, let me say, a word from the Lord, we need it. The wounds of the Lord, we need to appreciate. The work of the Lord, don't lose sight of it. May the Lord bless His word.
Quite often when one is exercised but not determined before the Lord, we wait patiently upon the Lord for indications that maybe His mind and will to set forth the things that He has exercised us about. And just in this second verse that we have been singing, about, "And let my steps be all controlled by Thee." One of the things that we thank God for is that in the teaching of God's Word, we sing with the Spirit, and we sing with the understanding also. And if we can't sing these things truthfully, and remember we're in the presence of God, but then we need to get things right with God so that we will be able to sing in the Spirit and the understanding also. "My steps be all controlled by Thee." The first day of a new year. What a blessed expression this really is. And what a joy it would be to have this in experience. With the Lord's help, we would like to add to what already has been given in the conference, and we'd like to turn to Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God proves or commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." And the Lord bless this portion that we have read together. I'm sure as you, and perhaps some of you, like ourselves when you were young believers, there's certain things in the Scriptures that when you read them, you wonder why a man like the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, should be able to write these things for believers. What is before my heart is this little thought here: knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And this to me was something that I was not able to do. How could a person glory in tribulation? Until in time, as God in His kindness giveth someone more maturity in the things of God, we were able to look at this in the way that it is set out by God. And we would do that today, especially for every one of us, but especially for the believers, the young believers, and the pathway that they have in front of them. You'll notice here when God saved us, that he has done something wonderful for us. He has, as it were, brought us into, it speaks here, of access by faith, in verse 2, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And let us get this into our souls, especially young believers, that here we have an entry. Because the Lord Jesus has died and risen again and justified us, we are able to enter into the presence of God, justified fully by his grace, justified by his blood on the principle of faith. Remember that. This is a standing that God has given to us. This is something that we entered into and something that we can never be put out of. Let us have this with certainty in our souls that we have a standing by grace in the presence of God. The book of Esther, you remember how, I believe it twice, that the king held out the scepter to Esther and bid her draw nigh. And that's just a little picture of what God has done for us through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has extended to us the scepter of grace and bidden us enter into